Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hey, this is Chloe Caroline, and you're listening to Tobin Tonight.
I did have a comment before we actually begin. So the last time, I know we did a live stream on like Instagram, not like too long ago, but the actual, since we've done an actual interview or conversation, has been December 3rd, 2019.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. Almost 4 years.
That's pretty crazy.
So wait, my first question would be, so Chloe, it's awesome to have you on, but like what's been up for the last 4 years?
Oh God, so much stuff. Oh man. Let's see. Two breakups. I released an EP called The Awakening Volume 1, and now I'm getting ready to release the second one, which is very exciting. So yeah, I mean, lots of music. I mean, I released a single basically every month beginning last January up until the end of April, and then just started releasing Boyish, and 94 just came out, and going to be releasing a single again every month up until the new year. So obviously during COVID, I mean, I was writing, I was in the studio, I was healing from a lot of stuff, and that kind of inspired my EP. So yeah, I don't know how to sum up 4 years without getting too detailed.
Yeah, I like how you open it up with like, oh yeah, two breakups. It's like, ha 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 ha.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh no, we're far.
It goes from like ha 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 ha. Like, it's like, are you okay?
I'm great.
When you mentioned about 94, like obviously, you know, I got the press release from 94, and that's one thing, get like a press release. And it's like, when you're reading it yourself, you're kind of like, okay, that's great. It's like sending out like anything to anybody of like, this is who I am. But like, tell me a little bit about like 94 from your perspective.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously. Yeah. The in-person explanation is obviously always the best and most interesting. I mean, 94 was inspired by none other than a real situationship. I feel like a lot of people, at least, you know, in our generation, millennials and Gen Zs, like, know very, very well. And outside of that, definitely have probably experienced it, but don't necessarily know that that's the term. But for me, I was like, I met somebody like right before COVID, and like we really hit it off. And then it was just bad timing. Like, I just like ended a relationship, and then he was moving away, and the world shut down. And it was kind of like, all right, like, let's figure out COVID. And, you know, I continued on with my life, and we didn't really chat. And then I found him doing back, and it was like, okay, like, you know, the what ifs started crumbling back in my head. It was like, maybe there's a chance to see if there's something here. And yet it was like kind of like one step forward and then two steps back. And it was like kind of like we both didn't really know how to act around each other, I guess. Even like that we weren't even in person for the longest time. And it was just kind of like me thinking like, why is there this giant elephant in the room that like no one's talking about? And yet, like, I was at a place in my life where I was like finally really starting to heal and kind of like open up to the idea of pursuing something again or trying something again, even if it meant that it might not work out. Like, because for the longest time, after you get out of like a really serious long-term relationship, it's like, you gotta be alone. At least like for me, like, I reached for, I was like, I need to be alone, because the idea of like starting over again and it not working out is like terrifying. But I finally got to the place of like, being by myself where I was like, well, even if it doesn't work out, like, I'm fine. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm good. It'll be okay. And so I was getting there, and I don't think he was necessarily like there on that same page. But anyway, so the song was kind of inspired by that like frustration of like, well, yeah, like we can both be playing these games, but at the same time, like, with almost a confidence, like, that it was bound to happen. So why are we wasting time? You know, like, kiss me before, like, we're 94 years old, you know, like, all we have is the present moment. And I was really trying to embrace that too. And that's something I learned over COVID is like how to embrace the present moment. So that's where I was at. And it turned into, yeah, into this song. And ironically enough, it didn't pan out, but it led me to something better, which, you know, is kind of where the video comes in and what you see towards the end of the video. So that was kind of like my journey. And I feel like a lot of people kind of have that happening more often now, especially like with texting and like social media and like dating apps. It's like you get into these situations with people that like take a lot of your emotional energy and feel like a relationship, but they never actually were. And that's kind of what happened. And I had to like literally even like grieve that when it didn't work.
I think it's funny because when you say that, like the line of kiss me before 94, it just the instance of like the grandmother from Titanic comes up, where it's just like it's been, was it like it's been 80 years or it's been 90. I'm just like, yeah, I was like, I guess that's what it would be. But when you explain that story, it I feel like it's kind of similar, because when I was in first year of university, I knew a girl, but like, yeah, just one, not everybody, but just one. And it was like never like you didn't feel like they liked you. You're just like, why would you like me? Like, you know, like it's a confidence thing. And maybe like guys just generally feel that way. But then it was like, okay, dating someone else at the time, then they broke up with that person. And I'm like, well, if they like me, they'll ask me out. And then people are like, no, you gotta ask them out. And I was like,
yeah.
I was like, no, I'm kind of comfortable where we're just kind of that friend thing.
Right.
And I was like, and if I ask and it's no, then it's kind of like, oh, well, there you go. And now we're ruined. And then they moved. They moved back home after the first term, but I didn't know. Cause at that point we were kind of not communicating. Then they moved back, and they were like literally like three houses down from where we were two in the second term.
But again,
didn't know. It was a roommate told me. And then it's not been really the same since. It's like you're still kind of communicating with them, but it's never that.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of like listening to that and your story. I'm just kind of like, well, that's mine. That's my version of it. But at the same point, just like sometimes it would work out. And then other times just like, okay. Like,
it's kind of like I got to the point where I was like I just want to find out like what's here, you know, like what are we potentially missing? And that's where, at that point, that's where my mindset was at. And I think like now I'm at a place where I'm like, I really do believe that you never miss out on like what is meant for you. And like there's a reason for like that whole awkwardness and back and forth and whatever that I experienced. But at the same time, a lot of people get into these situations and and understand that like frustration or impatience or trying to learn like when to lean back and just like chill and when to like be honest and open. I think you should always be honest, but you know what I mean? Like when to make a move, right? Yeah. And be like really clear about what you want. Yeah. I don't know. I think you gotta go for it, because I do think people sometimes,
especially now,
I'd rather not regret it, you know. I'd rather not be like, what if I just told him how it felt? You know,
especially in a world where you mentioned about texting and stuff and apps, it's like it's so easy to be like, oh yeah, it's like we hang out a lot. It's like, do you? It's like, we talk a lot. It's like, oh, okay, but have you ever hung out? It's like, no, not really.
Yeah And then it just gets all confusing.
It's just like, well, we talk all the time, and now it's like, okay. It's like,
well, thing is like, there's like the walking on eggshells, you know, and that's kind of what I talk about in the song too. It's like, you could do this, you know, and I could call you, but I'm not, because I'm like afraid of like, what if I'm coming on too strong? Or like, what if I say the wrong thing? And I think the other person's like mirroring that entirely. And that's like super normal, but eventually, like, I got so exhausted of like doing that and like wondering like, you know, should I send this text? And not having like confidence in what I was saying, you know, at times, or gaslighting yourself. And
yeah,
to the point where I finally got, when I like met my boyfriend, to the point where I was like, yo, this is who I am. And like, I really don't care. If you don't like it, then there's the door and there's somebody else for you. And there's somebody for me. And like, I remember like I had him over to my house and like, I had like all my like crazy ass like manifestations all over the mirror. And like, I'm going to meet my husband and like just crazy shit. And I'm like, some guys would be like, goodbye. And he was like, totally fine. And I'm like, yeah, that's it. That's perfect then, because that's me. I'm going to keep writing my manifestations out. And that's just like a part of who I am.
He just looked, he's like, ha ha ha. And like left.
He was like,
no, it's fine. He's like, I'm just going to step out for some fresh air for like 20 minutes to an hour to never. Not coming back. Just, you know, if I go missing, don't look for me. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're saying about like gaslighting yourself, like, I feel like maybe it's similar, but I find like girls or females who just be like, guys got to make the first move to certain things. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of like, okay. But when they do make the first move, understand that that's a lot of pressure. So like, if you're not going to reciprocate, or like, you know, just like, as was it like the, what's his name? Alec Benjamin, just let me down slowly. Let me down easy. Yeah. Like, you know, just don't like go like, oh my God, ew. I'd be like, now you crushed it. Now for 20 years, that guy's not going to talk to anyone because you just crushed. But I would be sending messages to people that I know or roommates that I thought like, oh, like I want to hang out with those people or whatever. And I'd be like, you don't really have this topic, but you just want to talk to the person. So it's just like, and it's not even like the greatest. It's not even like you're flirting. You're just like, I want to just start a conversation. It's just like, today's cleaning day. Eh? And then they're just like, how did you know? It's like, oh, because on our side, we're actually cleaning too. And they're like, cool. I'm just like, you guys got a Swiffer? I got a Swiffer. They're just like, you're sounding more like a concern. Like, are you selling them? Like, are you part of like, are you
getting a commission for this?
Do they pay you to clean? Like, are you trying to say you want to clean our house? I'd be like,
oh my God.
No.
Gotta go.
Like, you got any burgers? Or they're like, are you hungry too? Like, I'm just like, I don't know. What's time they go?
So, I mean, we do crazy stuff when
just like I'm going to Tim Hortons. You want to go to Tim's? Like, no. It's like, and then it's like, in my mind, I'm just like, well, if no one's going to Tim Hortons, I'm not going. And someone's like, I'll go. And I'm like, but I don't want to go with you. Like, it's like two dudes going to Tim Hortons. Yeah, it's like, cool. It's like, well, come on, you said you were going. I'm like, I changed my mind. I want to ask you as well about Boyish. Now, I know Boyish has been out for, well, like, I guess late September or in the summer, August.
End of August. Mm-hmm.
So tell me a little bit about Boyish, because when Natasha, because listen, I know Natasha pretty well. We went to school together.
She told me, that's so
She told you the story? Okay, but anyway. So Natasha sent me a thing, and then as soon as she said, oh yeah, well, she had Boyish come out, and I was like, oh, okay. But I was just like, Boyish? Wait, what's that supposed to mean? Is that like a, you're supposed to, and I'm like, it's like childishness. So I was just like, hey now.
Hey, are you feeling called out there, Tobin? Yeah. Boyish is, I mean, it's inspired by the man children of the world.
Okay.
It was actually funny because I saw it on somebody's, I saw like Boyish, like it was like somebody's caption. And I thought that would be a good song title. And so I was like, what does that mean? And for me, it immediately kind of sounded like, somebody who's kind of like behaves like a man child. And then I realized, you know, I had obviously dated man children and people that just like don't know how to show up and are like, you know, in their minds think that they're, you know, a certain way, and in reality they're not, or you know, and just like aren't meeting you in the middle, and it gets like really, really, again, frustrating. And then I had a lot of friends too, like similar situations where they were dating these people and or not dating them, again, more situationships, and kind of going in circles and wondering why they're continuing to date these people, yet not acknowledging like, okay, you can't change this person. Like, you know what I mean? Like, not to say that like they can't grow and whatever and mature, but like, you can't force that out of somebody. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I wanted this song to really encourage people, or not encourage, but like, I guess empower them to realize, like, it's okay to call out the truth. It's okay to, like, do what's good for you and no longer put up with that behavior. And, like, that's the only way that you can see the results you want, even if it ends up being with somebody else. Unfortunately, sometimes you want it to be this other person. But yeah, and again, yeah, not a gender thing at all, just a maturity thing, because there's plenty of women, children out there too, for sure. That's pretty much boyish, calling out the man children. Yeah. And it could be even like your brother.
I won't get into that, but I have two brothers. Sure. I'm sure at some point they would consider me a man child, or vice versa, yeah, depending on the situation. Sure. Yeah.
Well, and I think when you can admit that you've been a man child, you know, that's a good step.
Yeah. It depends on the circumstance, I guess. If there's a certain point where it's just like anything that involves like video games, or if it's like a hockey reference, then it's a little bit more on the nose, where I'm just like, okay, it's like you're pushing buttons. It's like, I know I'm supposed to be 32 soon, but I'm still like, it's still a trigger. there's still this, I feel like everyone has a button that you push. That's why they call them buttons, because once you push the button, it triggers the response.
It's true. Yeah. You know, but again, at least
you're open enough to say it, right? Like,
exactly.
Like, I don't have a trigger at all.
Yeah, exactly. They're completely ignorant. So,
well, here's a good story for you, because it happened literally like 2 days ago. Is it 2 days? Yeah, probably 2 days ago. I was walking here in Ottawa, and like, again, Newfoundland's very friendly. I don't know if you've ever been, but it's very friendly, very open. And I was just walking around, like, minding my own business, had headphones in. And like, it's a Yorkie. It's a small dog, but it's a big muscular dude walking a small dog. So I just smiled at the dog, because we're going in the same direction. And I'm like, don't want to be an ass. And then the guy like stops me. He's like, is there a problem? And I was like, no. And I was just like, why are you laughing? And I was like, okay, I have headphones in, but I know when I hear myself laugh. So I was smiling. And then he's just still like, I said to him, I was like, no, I was smiling at your dog. And then he just, instead of just being like, oh, okay, he just kind of like kept going. And I'm just like, you're very insecure.
You said that?
No, like in my mind, I wouldn't say it out loud, but I was like, I want to keep what I have. But it's just
for sure.
I was just still like, I smiled at your dog. Like, why are you, that to me, it's a little bit boyish.
Yeah, no, that's exactly boyish. That's 100% boyish. Yeah, in the insecurity. Yeah.
Yeah, and I did not tell.
Own the fact that you got a small dog. You know.
Yeah.
Just be like, ow.
Oh, I want to.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ask you to, like, while we still got a little bit of time here, you mentioned about the awakening, and then there's the awakening. I like it's volume two. Like, you know, tell us a little bit more about like the difference between, I know, because I'm interested when artists have volume one and volume two. Like, to me, it's almost like a greatest hits volume one and volume two. It's like almost like, oh, well, these ones we really know you like in volume one.
Yeah.
Volume two, there's like people are like, you didn't put this on volume one.
Yeah. So
explain, I guess, your difference between an awakening one versus two, or is it just more or less a marketing thing where you're like, people know what the awakening is for me, they'll know awakening.
Yeah.
Two.
It's funny. So they're kind of actually like the awakening two, or well, volume two is kind of like a prequel actually.
Okay.
To the awakening volume one. It's actually backwards. With the exception of like a couple of the songs that I had put out on volume one, that was actually recorded and written later. And these songs actually were, that I'm about to release and are starting to release, were written earlier, like 4 years ago, sometimes.
So like we could have just clued up an interview and then you were like, I gotta go write songs now that I've actually
Exactly. That's when I was like in the process of writing these songs.
Yeah.
And yeah, and so volume two, I would say the biggest difference is that it's just an earlier, you know, stage in my journey, and a lot of times more rawness and even more vulnerability is revealed. And, you know, it's really like these questions that I was asking myself on this like healing journey. And like when I was at certain stages, you know, like I was during 94, where I was just like really wanting this person to admit it and go for it. And you know what I mean? Like kind of more of like a chaser dynamic.
Yeah.
I had, you know what I mean? I was slowly learning how to like let go and surrender and trust the process and everything. But it was definitely like earlier in the journey. And then Boyish too was when I kind of first was realizing, you know, like who I was attracting for the longest time, maybe, or like who I didn't want to date anymore, you know, and slowly learning those things. And then, yeah, like I have another song on the record that's like very much like right after post breakup and like really, you know, like I was telling you, kind of at the stage where I wasn't ready to date anybody at all. And just, yeah, like trying to process it all. There's a lot of just kind of like daydreaming and manifesting and asking these questions and kind of just really internalizing like what's going on and what you want.
That's fair. I feel like, so if it's safe to say, like, I'm going to be turning 32 in like 2 weeks. You have a birthday, I believe, in like February.
Yeah.
So like, and you're on that, you're on the crossroads of, is it almost like 30?
I will be. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so how do you feel? Cause when I was 29 to go 30, at first it was like, there a part of me that was like, oh, this is, oh, okay. I'm getting there. I'm getting older. And then there's another part of me that's like, when someone tells you any age when you're 20, they're just like, oh, like you're still a baby. It's like, oh, you have so much. But as soon as you turn like 30, they're just kind of, they're like, ah, okay.
Great.
So it's not like you're old. It's just that they're like, okay, like you got past your 20s. It's like, what did you do in your 20s necessarily? And I'm just like, well, it's like, I didn't get a DUI. I didn't get arrested for anything. I completed degrees. I did fairly well. So I'm like, I think my 20s were okay. But like, when you look back now, like there's still like, listen, you still got months. But when you're looking at your 20s as a whole, are you kind of like, yes, this is, I've accomplished this? Or are you kind of like, oh my God. Are you like, are you like a Rachel? Like, are you a Rachel and Friends where you're just like, oh.
No, I've accomplished, I feel like, a lot, definitely. And a huge growth between 20 and 30, definitely, like, without a doubt. I mean, wow. completely in a different space, like, mentally and perspective-wise, and a lot more, I feel like, in tune with what I want and how to get it, guess. And also just in regards to like self-love too, you know, in a completely like different place as well. So and then just in my career, obviously like a lot has happened between 20 and 29 or less 30. Just as far as really realizing again, who I am as an artist, who I want to continue to be, the type of music that I want to make, the sounds that I like, everything, what my goals are as an artist. And then achieving a lot of them. There's still like, of course, bigger ones, and there always will be. I'm pretty proud of the last 10 years.
So do you, I want to ask you this, cause you're an artist compared to me being a fan, but like, you know, when you mentioned about say 10 odd years, cause I'm looking at it from say 22 to 32 for me, but it's just so like, you know, I grew up with Jonas Brothers, Justin Bieber, Selena, Miley, and then just to watch them from like, and again, I was probably their age because I'm around their age, but like when they're first coming out with just say Burning Up or Year 3000, you're kind of like, this isn't for me. Like, I'm not really into it.
It's still pretty.
And, but like, you download it. You download it and you like it, but you're like, it's not really what I want to listen to. And then now it's like Jonas Brothers come out with like Montana Sky or Celebrate or like Selena Gomez. I think she has, I know it's a little bit older, but it's like the one where she sings about like losing yourself to love herself.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just like, this is the same person when I was younger that used to sing Cruella de Vil. And now she's telling me about losing. You got to lose some love. And I was just like, okay. But like, you're an artist. So like, how do you kind of explain your evolution? Because listen, I still will find on my iPhone sometimes Indian Summer. And then I'll listen to that. And I'll be like, that's the first time that I remember listening to Chloe. Then I'll listen to something more recent. I'll be like, there's definitely a change.
Yes.
But not like a bad change, but it's just like the artist perspective, because I don't know. I'm not going to have Miley on tomorrow or Justin Bieber, but like, tell me a little bit about like how that evolves over time. Like, do you just wake up one day and be like, you know what? I think I want to write this a little bit more open. Like, I want people to read me a little bit more.
I think for me, well, you know, and I think it might be different between like, you know, 30 and 40 or something. But still, you know, there's less, I feel like, less obvious growth there as there, you know what I mean? Like, there's a huge maturity difference between, I feel like, 20 and 30 and like what you experience. And so for me, like, a lot of it was building my confidence up, you know, with, again, like, even playing live. Like, I was super novice even at 20. The person I am on stage now is completely different, like, night and day. I think I was, like, beginning, you know, like, slowly but surely, like, getting there. But I definitely was probably holding back and had, you know, more reservation on stage, which I don't have as much of anymore at all. I love perform. I never even get nervous. Like, I love it so much, and being really open and stuff like that. But then, if, you know, from a sound perspective too, you know, just like I was maturing, you know, throughout the various seasons and what I was like experiencing, like, I was also learning what I liked and like what I necessarily didn't resonate with, just because maybe like other people resonated with it, or I was maybe supposed to, because I was in this particular genre when I was living in Nashville. And so this is what I should sound like, and trying to fit in the box. And I finally kind of like got to the point where I didn't really.
You weren't even in a box anymore.
Yeah. Like, I was kind of just like, I want to make music that feels right, and it's going to land where it's supposed to land. If I'm still intentional about it, obviously, but I don't want to just like throw in something that, like, throw in a random banjo because that's considered country, or like something you don't believe in, or not use this sound because it doesn't fit this genre, you know what I mean? Whatever it was. And so, yeah, I think I finally started really just like not caring as much about, you know, like doing what other people were doing and kind of wanting to embrace like who I actually really was authentically, and the different, that the new and the old that I liked, and the mixture of pop and the songwriter in me, and that you could do both. And I was at the same time witnessing artists like Harry Styles and Shawn Mendes and Ed Sheeran and stuff, that were these males that kind of had that really cool combo. And that's what I was doing naturally. I kind of was being told that I couldn't really do that in pop or country, you know? Like, so I kind of started to find my own lane. And obviously it's like leaning a lot more towards
it's just interesting. Cause it's like, it's interesting to me. Cause when you're saying like about, I know there are people out there that will kind of put things in a box, like, oh, cause you got to, I guess in some aspects on iTunes, you just can't be like music. And it's like, okay, but we have to label it something. But I'm just so like, I wish, like, I listened to Shania Twain, but necessarily, like, I'm sure it's country, but it's like pop country. And I think you listen to, to country artists and like today's country, it's kind of like, Morgan Wallen to me doesn't, or is it Wallen, doesn't sound to me like country as much. Like, it's, it classifies it, but it's just, there's people out there that would never listen to country. And it's like, you want to put on some country? I hate that. And then it's like, okay. And then it's like, play this Morgan guy. And I'm like, but you just said that you didn't like him. Like, he's not country though. I'm just like, I'll find it on iTunes. It says country.
So it's an interesting thing.
they just expand outside the bubble. But I think the one artist that I've found recently that was kind of like that, of like the crossroads of like, I'm just going to do what I want to do. It's like, Taylor Swift started off in country for like two or three songs. I know there's probably more, but to me it was almost like two or three songs when I was in high school. Then it's just like, now I'm going to go pop. Oh, now I'm going to go write Betty folklore. Yeah. And I'm just like, it's all over, but no one really goes after her of being like, hey, you're pushing lanes.
That's obviously the goal as an artist, to be able to like, that. I mean, we're creatives. Like, we should do whatever feels natural for us.
Imagine if you weren't. It's like, we're creatives, but we're very limited and we can't do much. It's just like,
what is that about? You know,
like, gotta be like me, no like way. Right now being like, I want to do a podcast about this. No, you can't. I'll be like, okay, but you're still creative. I'm just like, you know, I can't be, because you, everything I'm tossing at you, you're throwing out.
Hi, I'm Steve Yerko.
And I'm Tara Sands. Now available from Maji Media is our new podcast, 4Kids Flashback. 4Kids is the company who brought you the English dub of Pokemon in the late 90s and so many other shows like Yu-Gi-Oh!, Shaman King, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Kirby, the infamous One Piece dub, and so many more.
We'll be talking to the people who worked at 4Kids. Actors, directors, writers, editors, producers, engineers, you get the point. And hopefully get the answers to questions both you and I have about the company.
I actually worked there as a voice actor on some of the shows.
And I was a kid watching the shows and remember way more than Tara does.
And thank God for that. Steve is actually a professional storyboard artist, which gives some really unique insights into anime and animation. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts. That's the number 4Kids Flashback.
Chloe, to kind of, I guess, clue it up in a way, we do have a fun game of random questions.
Oh, fun. Okay, hit it.
Okay, I'm sure we've played this in the past. Well, actually, we played, like, I think when we were on, like, Pop Canada, we played a Canada quiz with you, and you were like, I don't want to do a Canada quiz. And I was just still like, don't worry, it's not that hard.
Oh, yeah. And I was like, I don't really know.
It's funny because I remember that because I was just like, it was like one of the first ones we did, but at the same aspect is you were walking around, like, because I remember at one point you're just like, I just got to sit down for a second. I was just like, what's she doing? And she's like, I'm just walking around. I was like, awesome. Great.
On a walk.
The first random question, let's see what they generated here. What's a movie, I guess you could say, like, that inspired you? Whether it doesn't have to be like in music, but just like to do something. Like, I'll give you my example. And it's like when I was younger, but I remember watching Coach Carter, and it was like right before like hockey, not even the same sport. I was just sort of like, man, I'm very amped up to go play some hockey now because this coach guy got in my ear, Samuel Jackson. Yeah. And he's just sort of like, you can do it. Like, I don't care if you're a nobody, you can do it. And I'm just like, I am a nobody and I'm going to do it.
I love it. I love it. Oh man. That's a tough one. I mean, a movie that inspired me, like, just based on its soundtrack entirely, is A Walk to Remember. Like,
that's a fairly good movie.
Oh my God, I loved that movie. And the whole soundtrack's, like, amazing. And you get what you give. New Radicals on there. Dancing in the Moonlight's on there. Top Loader version. Like, and I reference those.
Mandy often. Moore. Mandy Moore's on
Mandy
there.
Mandy Moore is my queen. I'm going to choose that one.
That's fair. I didn't know, like, on that, I guess on their soundtrack, that New Radicals would be on it. Cause I'm after hearing that song, like, so many times, and like, what's the one? Click.
Oh,
Click,
the soundtrack.
Click uses it at the end of theirs, like the Adam Sandler movie.
I feel like I hated that movie, but I don't know. Maybe not.
There's a lot of movies that I'm like either diehard Adam Sandler, like go to. Yes. Or if someone's like, Adam Sandler's mediocre, I'm just like, can't really argue with you when you bring up a certain movie, because I'm just like, okay, fair. But I'm just like, still my guy. Still my guy. What is something you want to accomplish in the next 10 years?
I want to go on tour. I want to... I want to go on tour. I want to meet my fans that I've had for a while and more than that, and the international ones, and... I want to be able to financially be able to have the freedom to support friends and family, and also like pursue multiple creative opportunities and ideas that I have and things that I want to execute in my career, music and just creatively in general. So those are two big things.
That's fair. In the, in the next 10 years, I just hope that like this keeps growing. That's basically.
Yeah, 100%. Next level.
Yeah, 10 years from now, just be like, how many times has Chloe been on now? It's like, well, she came on two more times and, you know, we did great, but it's to the point now where I can't even contact her anymore. It's like, I can't even go through Natasha. Natasha's like, I know we're friends, but like, I just can't get her on. I'd be like, oh, okay. It's like,
no,
I saved you from a car wreck, Natasha.
Yeah, there you go.
The last one, this one's not random, but I want to bring it up. Like, I'm very open with disability, and I know not necessarily somewhat, I guess not really related to it, but still someone might be out there and be like, oh, that's cool. Because I read that at 11, you had kind of this illness, and then to overcome it or to kind of distract you, that's when you picked up a guitar. And then like you went through YouTube and then you were looking for me, but you couldn't find me because, you know, no. But like, tell me a little bit about like why, because that's still at 11. Like I have a nephew that's 11, but I don't feel like he's, not that I don't think he's capable of doing things.
Yeah.
But I just don't, I'm looking at myself. Maybe I'll use myself at 11. I probably wasn't being like, dude, I'm going through something. I'm definitely picking up a guitar or I'm definitely going to learn this. I'm at 11. I'm probably going to be like, I feel sad for myself. Yeah. I'm just going to sit here for a while. I'm at 30 and I'd still probably do that. They're like, do something. I'm like, no, I feel like being sad.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, and then you have times when you do want to feel sad and that's when you turn to sad music.
That's when you turn on Oasis and you're just like, don't go away.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, obviously like for me, like I started writing songs technically when I was 6 and like, music's always been something that I was, felt really connected to, and it runs my family, and even just like understanding lyrics that I shouldn't have from a young age. At that point I was obsessed with music. I was obsessed with discovering artists and songs and like finding other people that did what I did to feel connected, I guess. And I'd always, you know, been a creative writer too and loved to write stories and little novels and poetry, and the fact that I could like make melodies, you know, like and try to understand myself at the same time and process it all just like was an obvious thing to me. And I mean, I remember like very vividly, like writing my first song with a guitar, not just like, cause I used to just like, I didn't have like voice memos even. I would just try to like remember what the melody was and write down the lyrics and stuff like that. But I remember the first time I was like sitting on my parents' bed and I like figured out a couple of chords and like wrote the song, and like out of nowhere, like these lyrics were like so deep and like things that I hadn't even necessarily experienced. My parents were just like, what, you know, like where did that come from? But I just let it, it was the first time I felt like I could sit there and just like let like my whole being and like emotions like flow and just totally like, again, like surrender into the music. And that's when I just wanted to keep doing it, I guess, like over and over after that. You know, it's like somebody who plays soccer, for example, and they're playing and they're running and they just feel so free and like they kick a goal and it goes in, you know what I mean? And just, it feels right. You want to just keep doing it over and over. And that's kind of like how it felt to me, even though I wasn't at the point where I was like, let me get on a stage in front of the world.
Yeah.
At that point.
Chloe, another like just kind of like to kind of close it out here, but you know, when you look at the, I guess, how many months we got left here? Like October, November, like 3 or 4 months, I guess. Well, maybe 3 months. Like, is there anything in particular that you have for like, cause some artists might have something on their list or something they want to do before the year ends. Have you ever made like one of those for like 2023 where you're like, I want to achieve this by this point? I've done it. Or if you haven't, you kind of switched up and said, I'm happy with this.
Yeah, I write out my manifestations.
Yeah, on a mirror.
Yeah, there's a lot in my journal and stuff too. So like, if there's anything left to do, I mean, it's always something left to do. It doesn't necessarily mean it's in my control. I guess for me, it's like making sure that the next, the next song is like out there in the world, and maybe play a couple more shows with my band and I really want to get merch out there. So I think, let me make that a goal.
That's fair.
That'd be good.
Do you have like an idea of it being like, cause I read, now I don't know if you know this, I'm sure you do, but there is, I think it's on Instagram as well, but there's a group that's called like the Chloe Caroline Crew.
Yeah.
Do you have a shirt design for that? Like a triple C?
I really should. I forgot who I was talking to though the other day, and they were like, that's lame. That's a lame name. I'm like, yo, I didn't come up with that.
I didn't go out on the street and be like, okay guys, anyone who likes me, we're actually called my first and last name with Crew.
Yeah.
That's how egotistical it. I am.
I like the triple C though. I think I like it. I don't know,
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I should definitely get those.
What is it in math? It's not called, is it, it's not 3 squared. Is it 3 cubed?
You mean alliteration?
Yeah. No, I was going to like, it's like the C and then the 3. I thought like, cause I know squared is like, you know, you could have 5 cubed. Squared. Yeah. There you go. That's, you could just make a cue ball with a C in it, and that'd be like for your math fans.
Yeah, exactly.
And they'd be like, I don't understand it. And then there's some math guy be like, I understand it. It's math, and I love that girl.
It's actually not a bad idea. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I almost have like a really nerdy fan. Like,
yeah, yeah. You never know. You could have someone down the road be like, I'm glad that she thought of me. And I'd be like, not me, but you. Good.
That's going to do it for this episode of Tobin Tonight. Our thanks to Chloe Caroline for coming onto the show. Remember, you can find past, present, and future episodes on TobinTonight.com, Spotify, and iTunes. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and leave a comment or two. For Tobin and myself, this is Jacob saying thank you for listening and good night.
Hi, I'm Emily Roger, and I host a leadership show called The Boiling Point with my co-host, Dave Vail. Together, we sit down with trailblazing entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and movement makers who are driving meaningful change in our world. The show is all about exploring the lives and perspectives of leaders who are making a difference. Join us for insightful conversations that challenge the status quo, spark new ideas, and inspire you to take action. Find us on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or at BoilingPointPodcast.com.
Hi, I'm Mercedes Nickel, 4-time Winter Olympian and host of Dropping In, a podcast with Mercedes. This is a podcast where I interview a bunch of different people. I get the good, the bad, and the ugly, as well as I share my stories along the way. Now you can drop in at droppingin.com or subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. I'll see you soon.
Another Sound Off Media Company podcast.